నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ టు ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ టు టుడే శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. టుడే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 4, చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ యాజ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నారద, టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 26. సో డ్యూరింగ్ ద లాస్ట్ 3 to 4 months వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. సో దిస్ ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో wherein the discussion began between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. So the sages of Naimisharanya, as we read from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, they wanted to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice for the welfare of living entities in general and also for themselves. So they requested Roma Maharshi Suta as their speaker. He was speaking, but by the will of the destiny, Lord Balaramji came. Eventually, all the events that are mentioned in the 10th canto happened. Roma Maharshi Suta left his body abruptly. And the sages requested Lord Balaramji that we just blessed him, that he should be long-lived and should continue to speak various Puranas that he had learned from his spiritual master, Shri Vyasadeva. So please do something so that our performance of this sacrifice should continue on. Then Lord Balaramji blessed the son of Roma Maharshi Suta, who is known as Ugrasharva Suta, to be the replacement of his father. So he will be enabled with all the same knowledge that his father had, and he was sent to the ashram of Vyasadeva, and he studied under various disciples of Vyasadeva and also Vyasadeva himself, and he also participated in the great assembly that took place on the bank of Ganges, Ganga, wherein Shri Sukadeva Goswami was narrating elaborately Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj over 7 days. Having heard that, he happened to come to Naimisharanya. So all the sages, understanding that somehow or other the son of Roma Maharshi Suta has returned, so now let us request him and inquire from him about some of the important aspects of life. So they requested Suta Goswami to sit on the Vyasasan, and then they made so many inquiries. The inquiries are mainly concerned about what is the ultimate goal for human life in general, for which Suta Goswami wanted to say that I'll speak to you whatever I have learned in the ashram. So may you extract according to your level of understanding the goal which you want to pursue. But the sages said that no, whether it is ourselves or the people in general in Kali Yuga, they are not so intelligent, they are not so fortunate, they are not so long-lived, they are not so dedicated to extract the essence of all the Vedic literature. We humbly request you to extract the essence of all the Vedic literature and please present it in succinct words so that our Atma will be satisfied, with which we can practice it with full dedication. So like that. Then Suta Goswami says, is that enough? That is what you want to know? They said that no, we also want to hear about why Krishna appeared, what was the purpose of his appearance, and all his pastimes we want to hear. And also Lord's various avataras, the purpose of their various avataras and their pastimes. Again Suta Goswami inquires, is that enough? That is what you want to know? And they said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all avataras, out of his causeless mercy upon all the conditioned souls of this world, appeared in his transcendental form and performed pastimes for the last 125 years. And he said, disappeared, taking along with him dharma and other important principles of religion. So now please tell us where we can find the principles of dharma, the path of perfection for the people of Kali Yuga. Krishna sadamopagate dharma jnanadibidaha. Lord Krishna disappeared from this world and went back to his own abode, taking along with dharma, jnana and other principal subjects of spirituality. And now where can we find dharma kam sharanangata? Now where is Dharma, where Dharma took shelter, where can we find Dharma? So that was the question. So in order to answer all these questions, Sri Suta Goswami speaks about the two important aspects of any Vedic literature, the sadhana and the sadhya. There are so many sadhanas in this world, but among all the sadhanas, the best sadhana is bhakti. By practicing bhakti, one can attain the highest destination, the ultimate destination. What is that ultimate destination? Bhagavan. Bhagavan has multiple forms. Not that everyone has to worship only one Bhagavan. According to one's inclination, one can worship any form of the Bhagavan. So, who are all the different forms of Bhagavan? A brief description of all the different types of Bhagavans are mentioned in the third chapter. The process to get shelter at the lotus feet of that form of Bhagavan is explained in the second chapter. That is the process of bhakti. And then, having mentioned these two important subject matters of any Vedic literature, specifically of Srimad Bhagavatam, then at the end of the third chapter, Suta Goswami concludes saying that this is what I have heard from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Where Sukadeva Goswami, sitting on the bank of Mother Ganga, spoke to Parikshit Maharaj over 7 days. And Sukadeva Goswami himself learned it from his own father, Srila Vasudev, who had compiled the scripture known as Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. Nisreyasaya Lokasya Danyam Swasti Ayanam Mahat. This scripture was personally compiled by Srila Vasudev, who is none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. And what is this? Uttama Shloka Charitam. This Bhagavatam describes the pastimes of the Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified by choice poetry. And this scripture is known as Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. And this scripture is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Brahma Samhitam. So what is the goal of the scripture? Nishreyasaya Lokasya. In order to bestow the ultimate goal to all the conditioned souls, this scripture has been compiled. What that ultimate goal brings in the life of the conditioned souls? Swasti Ayanam Hat. It brings auspiciousness in the life of all the conditioned souls. Because the conditioned souls who are born in the Kali Yuga are subjected to so many miseries. Prayan Alpayusha Sabya Kalau Asmin Yuga Jana Manda Sumanda Matya Manda Bhagya Upadratha. Like that, so many difficulties are there in various ways. They are always subjugated by three modes of material nature, tormented by tapatraya, adibhautika klesha, adhyatmika klesha, adhyayuka klesha. The only relief is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Bhagavatam, what is this Bhagavatam? Then Suta Goswami says, Krishne sadamopagate dharma jnanadibhi saha kalau nashta drusham esho puranarko adunodita. Lord Krishna, who is dharma personified, who appeared to re-establish the principles of dharma and vanquish the miscreants and their philosophies, had manifested Satya Yuga even during the fag end of Dwapara Yuga. But when he is about to disappear in order to start Kali Yuga, from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga, he has taken along with him dharma, jnana, other spiritual qualities and activities. So now the entire world is submerged into dense darkness. The same Lord, out of compassion for all the conditioned soul, again made his reappearance in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was the shloka with which Suta Goswami kind of stops. So I am done with your answers. So please let me know if you want to know something more. So then in the fourth chapter at the beginning, they make few more questions. They say that we want to know that Bhagavatam in detail. Whatever Bhagavatam that has been compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, that has been spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami and to Parikshit Maharaj, which you had heard being seated in front of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, we want to know in detail. Please speak that Bhagavatam in detail. And more so, we want to know one more thing. When, where, and for what reason did Vyasadeva compile this Bhagavatam? And who inspired him to compile this Bhagavatam? So Vyasadeva compiled Bhagavatam, and we also want to know where exactly he compiled this Bhagavatam, and when, under whose instruction he compiled this Bhagavatam. Can you kindly please elaborate?
where in the Sutta, Sages have mentioned that, Kasmin Yuge, in which Yuga, Staneva, at what place, Kena Hetuna, for what purpose, Kuta Sanchojita Krishna, Kritavan Samhitam Muni, under whose inspiration, Srila Vyasadev compiled this Bhagavatam. We want to know about this in detail. In addition to that, they also pose so many other questions that Srila Sukadeva Goswami does not stay at one place. Sagodohana Matramihi Grihesu Guru Medina Mavekshate Mahabhagati Tirthakurvanta Sadashramam. Sukadeva Goswami stays at the house of a householder only the time required to milk the two nipples of a cow. Cow generally has four nipples. The milk of two nipples are meant for the calf. The milk of other two nipples are meant for the human beings. So generally the cowherd men supposed to take the milk only from the two hands. The other two are meant for the calf. So he stays only at the house of householders only for that time. So how did Sukadeva Goswami could stay for 7 days? And how did he happen to meet Parikshit Maharaj? And how could Parikshit Maharaj, in his very young age, at the age of 60 years, just after ruling for 35 years or 25 years, he renounced everything and sat on the bank of Ganga, fasting till death? How did all this happen? Talk about the birth and activities and the death of Parikshit Maharaj. They are so amazing. Like that, other questions related to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, they ask. So, now, Srila Suta Goswami tells that, having heard these inquiries of the sages of Naimisharanya, first, in the next three chapters, chapter 4, 5 and 6, Srila Suta Goswami talks about when, where, why and under whose inspiration Srila Vyasadeva compiled this Bhagavatam. As we just mentioned in the previous Bhagavatam class, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam can be seen in three sections. The first section, the first three chapters, talks about the principal subject matter of Bhagavatam, that is Bhakti and Bhagavan. The next three chapters talks about what inspired the author to compile this book. The author talks about his own inspiration and where, when and how he compiled this book. That is being explained in these middle three chapters. And then the remaining first canto of Bhagavatam talks about who are the main characters involved in this Bhagavatam. The hearer and the speaker. There are two set of hearers and speakers. The first conversation took place between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. The second conversation took place between Suta Goswami and sages of Naimisharanya. And the circumstances under which these conversations took place, that is explained in the rest of the first canto of Bhagavatam. So that is being narrated. So here, in this particular section, Suta Goswami just briefly mentions about one verse, he says that Dvapare Samanu Prapte Tritiye Yuga Pariyaye Jata Parasharad Yogi Vyasavyam Kalaya Hare. Vyasavyam Kalaya Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Kala portion, expansion of the expansion, appeared as Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, as the son of Satyavati and Parashara. When? Almost at the end of Dvapara Yuga. During the third portion of Dvapara Yuga. It is mentioned here as Dvapare Samanu Prapte Tritiye Yuga Pariyaye. During the third portion of Dvapara Yuga, the Supreme Lord in his partial manifestation appeared as Srila Vyasadev, as the son of Satyavati and Parashara. So, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, it mentions that there is a personality known as Vyasa who appears during every Dvapara Yuga. Not only the Dvapara Yuga which happened recently, the 28th Chaturyuga cycle of the present Manvantara, there is a Vyasadev who appears during every Dvapara Yuga who actually pen down all the Vedic literature that are available in the form of sound vibration for the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. In other three ages, if they remember the Vedic literature, they will remember if they hear the Vedic literature, they can remember for the entire life. But the people of Kali Yuga do not have that much memory. So for their benefit, the Supreme Lord either appears personally or empowers someone to become Vyasa and pen down all the Vedic literatures that are heard through sound vibration and remembered for the entire life in the form of books. So that if we forget, we can refer to the books back once again. So that we can be in touch with Vedic literature. So, since today's verse is all about the compassion of Srila Vyasadeva upon all the conditioned souls, the previous verses talked about what are the activities of Srila Vyasadeva. So this we will discuss at the end of our today's discussion. Now today, whatever time we have, we will discuss on the principle of Vyasa. What is this principle of Vyasa? So, in Vishnu Purana, it talks about who are all the different personalities have appeared as Vyasa in the previous 27 Chaturyuga cycles of Vaivashvata Manvantara. Currently, we are in the 51st year of Lord Brahma, the first month, the first day, which is known as Shvetavaraha Kalpa, is going on. And that Kalpa has 14 Manvantaras. 6 Manvantaras are already passed. Now the 7th Manvantara is going on. In this 7th Manvantara, we already passed 27 Chaturyugas. We are in 28th Chaturyuga. So, Vishnu Purana says that during every Dwapara Yuga of the present Manvantara, the different Vyasas have divided the Vedic literature into sub-branches and sub-branches, etc., etc. So, who are all the people? During the first Chaturyuga, there was no qualified person to become Vyasa. So Lord Brahma himself became Vyasa. And during second Chaturyuga cycle, that particular Manu becomes Vyasa. Whoever is the Manu, during the first Manvantara, Swayambhu Manu became Vyasa. During the current Manu period, Shraddha Deva, the Vaivashvata Manu became Vyasa during the second cycle. So like that, as we go, there are various personalities became Vyasa during each and every Chaturyuga cycle. So just I briefly read out their names. Third Chaturyuga, Shukracharya became Vyasa. Fourth Chaturyuga, Brihaspati became Vyasa. Fifth Chaturyuga, Surya became Vyasa. Sixth, Yama became Vyasa. Seventh, Indra became Vyasa. Eighth, Vasishtha became Vyasa. Ninth, Saraswata became Vyasa. Tenth, Tridama. 11th, Trishika. 12th, Bharadvaja. 13th, Antariksha. 14th, Varani. 15th, Trayaruna. 16th, Dhananjaya. 17th, Kritanjaya. 18th, Jaya. 19th, Bharadvaja. Once again, 20th, Gautama. 21st, Uttama. 22nd, Rajashrava. 23rd, Somasu Smapama or Trinabindu. 24th, Valmiki became Vyasa. 25th, Shakti, the son of Vasishta. 26th, Parashara, the father of Srila Vyasadeva. 27th, Jaratkaru. 28th, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. The 29th Vyasa, the personality who will be going to become Vyasa during the next Dwapara Yuga will be Ashwatthama, the son of Drona and the grandson of Bharadvaja. So this is how it is mentioned. This is not only mentioned in Vishnu Purana, it is also mentioned in other Puranas. Also, the same thing is mentioned. So, just few connections we'll just try to see. From the end of Chakshusha Manvantara, that was 6th Manvantara, almost, Bali Maharaj overtook the throne of Indra. For 6 Chaturyugas, Bali Maharaj is only ruling as Indra. So, the Devatas took shelter of Lord Vamana. So, Lord Vishnu appearing as Lord Vamana, of course, Devatas took shelter of Lord Vishnu and also Aditi performed severe austerities to please Lord Vishnu so that their sons get their position back. So, Lord Vamana appeared and took the 3 planetary systems and gave it to Indra. So, now Indra is in position. He has to restart the governance. So, that time there was no one qualified to become Vyasa. So, Indra himself became Vyasa during the 7th Chaturyuga cycle. And like that, if you go, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in the form of Lord Rama during 24 Chaturyuga cycle, during Treta Yuga of the 24 Chaturyuga cycle. That was the time Valmiki was also personally present. He also took part of the Leela of Lord Rama. And by the inspiration of Lord Brahma, he compiled Ramayana during Treta Yuga. And that Valmiki Muni, in order to show his compassion on the living entities, became Vyasa at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And compiled all the Vedic literature. Of course, penned down all the Vedic literature that are available in the form of Shruti. So that was mentioned here. So Valmiki became Vyasa during the 24th cycle. So later on, Shakti, the son of Vyasa, son of Vasishtha, and Parashara, son of Shakti, and Jaratkaru plays an important role in Mahabharata. If we happen to read Adiparva of Mahabharata, we can come to know about Jaratkaru, the role of Jaratkaru. He plays a very important role, bringing about the appearance of Mahabharata. And then, 28th, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa becomes Vyasa. So now, in order to discuss the principle of Vyasa, let us spend some time and what did Brahma do by becoming Vyasa during the first Chaturva cycle. So that is what is followed by all the other Vyasas, whoever become Vyasa in the future Chaturyuga cycles. So as we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, the very first verse, the third line says that Tene Brahma Hrudaya Adikavaye. The understanding of all the Vedic literature has been imparted onto Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Tene Brahma Hrudaya Adikavaye. So how did that happen? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is the super soul of our entire universe, expanding himself as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma of the individual living entities, first entered into the lotus flower, which manifested from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, later on entered into the heart of Lord Brahma. Having entered into the heart of Lord Brahma, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu himself manifested himself as Nada or Gosharupa. So in the Bhagavatam 6th canto, during the conversation that took place between Lord Sankarsana and Chitraketu Maharaj, Lord Sankarsana says that, Aham vai sarvabhutani bhutatma bhutabhavana Shabda Brahma Parabrahma Mamobe Shashvati Tanu. My dear Chitraketu, I manifest myself in the form of the entire universe. I manifest myself in the form of all the living entities. They are all my external manifestations. But I personally manifest and remain eternally in that particular form in two ways. One is Shabda Brahma, other one is Parabrahma. Shabda Brahma indicates all the Vedic literature, which is non-different from the Supreme Personality of God himself. And Parabrahma indicates Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. According to the desire of the practitioner, the Supreme Lord manifests for some, especially for Jnanis as Brahman, for Yogis as Paramatma, for devotees as Bhagavan. And these two aspects of mine are my Shashvata Tanu, my eternal forms. So the Vedic literatures are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that Vedic literature initially appears in the form of Nada. It is also called as Gosha Rupa. And then that Nada, having entered into the heart of Lord Brahma, immediately generates the Pranava Nada, known as Omkara. Omkara appears in the Mooladhara Chakra of Lord Brahma, which is known as Prana. The Nada expands and appears in the form of Omkara in the Mooladhara Chakra of Lord Brahma, which takes the form of Prana. And then, this Prana is the first state of sound vibration, which is known as Para. Eventually, this Prana, this Para sound vibration transforms itself into Pashyanti, which appears in the mind of Lord Brahma, which is located in the Manipuraka Chakra. So then, this further transforms and appears in the form of sound vibration known as Madhyama, which is located in Ahanata Chakra of Lord Brahma, which is called as intelligence, which manifests its activities through intelligence. And then finally, these three forms of sound vibration, Para, Pashyanti and Madhyama, are very, very, very subtle. Para is transcendental, Pashyanti and Madhyama is somewhere in between transcendental and material. And then eventually, the audible sound which we can perceive through our senses, it manifests in the form of Vaikari through the senses of Lord Brahma in the Vishuddhi Chakra of Lord Brahma. So like that, the original sound vibration, the original Vedic literature, which are non-different from the Supreme Lord, having entered into the heart of Lord Brahma, manifests in the Mooladhara Chakra as Para, and Manipura Chakra as Pashyanti, Ahana Chakra as Madhyama, and Vishuddhi Chakra as Vaikari, which is known as the audible sound vibrations. How does this audible sound vibration will manifest in practical reality? That Vaikari sound vibration, which is known as audible, eventually manifests itself in the form of Swara. Swara means ovals. Then manifests in the form of Sparsha, consonants. And also manifests in the form of semi-ovals and sibilants, Shesha, Saha, Yara, Lava, etc. The Omkara itself, which is very highly transcendental, eventually transforms as Pashyanti, Madhyama and Vaikari. That transforms in the form of all the alphabets. The sound vibrations with our different rhythms have been manifested. Then by combining these letters, the individual alphabets, the words formed. First, four words formed. Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha, individually three words. And the combination of the words, Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha. These four words appeared first. And then, by the combination of these letters, alphabets, in the form of sentences, not sentences, words, and then sentences, there appeared the four Vedas, Rugveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Atharva Veda. Then there appeared the four different types of Shastras, which are known as Puranas, Nyaya Shastras, Mimamsas, and Dharma Shastras. In order to understand the Vedas, in order for us to help us understand the Vedas, the six Vedangas appeared. The six Vedangas are known as Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakarana, Nirukta, Jyotisha, and Chandas. Shiksha means pronunciation, how to pronounce different alphabets and different words and different sentences. That appeared. And Vyakarana, grammar appeared, how to compose sentences, that appeared. And Nirukta, etymology, that appeared. And then Chandas, meter, how to compose verses, how to compose prose and poetry, they all appeared. All these appeared in order to compile literature, in order to read and understand Vedic literature. They assist us. And is that enough? Understanding is enough? No. We need to perform activities. What is being told in the Vedic literature, we need to perform them also. In order to help us how to perform the activities mentioned in the Vedas, where to perform and when to perform, the final two Vedangas talk about that. The one is Kalpa, the rules for various rituals, how to perform various Vedic rituals that are mentioned in Kalpa. And when to perform, where to perform, that is explained in the Jyotisha. The six Vedangas are brought about in order to help us how to understand the Vedas and how to execute the activities of the Vedas. And, okay, this can be done by the people who are qualified for the Vedas and who are interested. But what about for common people? How do they sustain in this world? For their welfare, there are four Upavedas appeared. Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, Gandharva Veda, and Stapatyam or Arthashastra. These are vocational courses that are required for the people in general to live in this world. Ayurveda, health, Dhanurveda, administration and protection, and Gana Shastra or Gandharva Veda, arts and science, singing, dancing, playing instruments, composing, etc., etc. And finally, Arthashastra or Tapatyam, for economic development, construction buildings, construction roads, and etc., etc., civil engineering, metallurgy, and all the other forms of engineering, etc. Everything appeared so that people can live happily in this world. So how can the people coexist in this world? So Lord Brahma created various sacrifices, various legs of Dharma, various varnas and various ashramas, and in the form of goals, the four purusharthas, dharmartha, kama, moksha, everything has been manifested by Lord Brahma at the first Vyasa, so that people can have everything, can live in a sane manner in this world, in order to fulfill their purpose of coming to this material world. Jiva comes to this material world for two purposes. One is to fulfill their material desires, that they want to enjoy separation of the Supreme Lord, Having done that, they are supposed to go back to Adad. In order to facilitate these two things, Lord Brahma manifested all these things for our benefit. Initially, they are all in Shruti form, but at the beginning of Kali Yuga, Vyasa compiles them in the book form for the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. So, that is how the first bond, first Vyasa, Brahmaji did this particular this thing. So, like that, all the Brahmas have done that. The current Vyasa, who is known as Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, who appeared as the son of Parashara and Satyavati. So now just briefly spend some time to understand about who is this Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, what is his parentage, who were Satyavati and who was Parashara. We briefly spend whatever time we have with us. So, Ramayana, Mahabharata, even in fact Bhagavatam also talks about elaborately about Parashara and Satyavati and their son Srila Vyasadev. So, taking the reference from Mahabharata from Adiparva, there was a king who was known as Vasu. He was a very pious king. He was dedicated to take care of the people in very religious manner. And he was taking care of the people very nicely. He was the king of steady province. So once, having heard from the great sages, in order to please Indra, he was performing great sacrifices or great tapasya. So Indra was a little bit disturbed. Is he really performing tapasya to get some benediction or is he performing tapasya to become Indra? So in order to pacify him, Indra appears in front of him very quickly and tells him, my dear Vasu, please, don't do tapasya anymore. It is causing disturbance to the entire world, the three planetary systems. I will give you so many benedictions. Please stop here. I will give you a prosperous kingdom, steady kingdom. Even though till now it was not so prosperous, but from today onwards it will become fully prosperous. It will give all the prosperity that you want to have. And then he says that, I will give you a chariot, which can travel and where, which can take you all the way up to heavens. So with this chariot, later on this Vasu became known as Uparichara Vasu. So the chariot does not travel on the earth, it always travels in the air only. So he became known as Uparichara Vasu. And then Indra says that, I will give you my personal garland, Vaijayanti garland, which has two qualities. It will never fade, whoever wears it will never become defeated. It is a victory garland, unfaded garland. I will give you that. And also I will give you a bamboo staff. Wherever this bamboo staff is there, it will bestow all the desires of the king. It is like a kalpataru. And also, this bamboo staff will protect the people of that kingdom, the pious people of that kingdom. Wherever it is there, all the pious people of that kingdom are completely protected. So kindly desist from performing any more austerities. Go home and take care of your kingdom and live prosperously. So, Uparichara Vasu became happy and went back home. And he was continued to rule his kingdom. So once in his kingdom, there was a river known as Shuktimati. It was flowing nicely. So, on the banks of that river, there is a mountain known as Kolahala. The mountain personified Kolahala wanted to unite with this river personified Shuktimati. So forcefully he grew up on the path of that river, forcefully stopped that river and trying to unite her. That time, understanding what is happening around, Uparichara Vasu quickly came and destroyed the mountain which is blocking the flow of the river. But in the meantime, the mountain personified already impregnated the river personified. But anyway, she was released for him. The river personified became very happy with the king and he said that, I cannot take care of the children. May you please take care of these two children. Because as a result, there were two children were born. There was a son and there is a daughter. The son became the general of Uparichara Vasu, commander-in-chief of general. And the daughter, as she grew up to youth, the king became so much attracted to her beauty and he married her. Her name is Girika. And eventually, when it became the right time to beget children, the queen proposed to the king, today let us perform Garbhadana Samskar. So it is the right time to beget children. So the both king and queen are preparing for Garbhadhana Samskar, but without knowing this information, the father of Uparichara Vasu sent a message to son. My dear son, today I want to perform some sacrifice. May you go to forest and fetch some sacrificial animals which can be sacrificed in the sacrifice. So, in order to follow the words of his father, Uparichara Vasu went to forest in order to fetch the animals for the sacrifice. But while going, he was constantly meditating about his wife. So on the way, he discharged his semen. Understanding that this semen contains the seed, so he immediately invited a hawk and requested that hawk, may you please take this semen and give to my wife. This seed should not go in vain, should not go waste. So that hawk was taking that semen which was kept in a leaf bag, a pamphlet made by the leaf, and the hawk was carrying it. On the way, when it is traveling on the above the aerial ways of Yamuna River, another hack, which is more powerful, saw this hack, thought that this hack is carrying some meat, a piece of meat. So in order to get that meat, there was a fight between both the hacks. So during that fight, that semen fell down into the Yamuna River. So in that Yamuna River, there was a fish who was actually previously Apsara, known as Adrika. She was cursed by some Gandharvas to become a fish, or some Brahmana, some Rishi to become a fish. And when she begged forgiveness from that Rishi told that, you have a special activity to perform. May you become fish, eventually after giving birth to two children, you will attain your original position. So this fish was swimming in the Yamuna River. As soon as that leaf packet fell down, the fish went and grabbed it and drank, ate up that semen. As a result of that fish became pregnant. In due course of time, there was a fisherman, Dasharaja, collected that fish, caught that fish, brought it to king's place, court, king's kitchen or whatever it is. So he cut into pieces. When he cut into pieces in order to cook, there appeared two children from the abdomen of the fish, one male and one female. The fisherman immediately informed the king. The king understood what had happened. These two children are actually my two children. So he accepted the boy, who became known as Matsya Raja, the Virata king, Matsya Raja, who played important role in Mahabharata later on. And the daughter, known as Matsya Gandhi, because she was actually emitting the fishy odor, which goes to 8 miles. The king understood that she has a special role to play in the mission of the Supreme Lord. Let she stay with the fisherman. So he told, my dear fisherman, may you take care of this girl, I will take care of the boy. The boy became his son, the girl became the daughter of the fisherman. Eventually, the fisherman has two duties to perform, collecting the fish in the fishes and also taking the people across the Yamuna River. The daughter was kind of assisting the father and continuing like that. So one fine day, Parashara came there and met with Satyavati, her name is Satyavati, and through them Vasudev appeared. But that we will understand little later. So this is the history of Satyavati, who was known as Matsya Gandhi, who was previously an Apsara, appeared by the curse of a Rishi in order to play her role in the pastime of Supreme Lord. So on the other hand, the mind-born son of Lord Brahma, known as Vasishta, who was one of the Manasaputras of Lord Brahma, he once treated very nicely Vishwamitra with the help of a Kamadenu cow. Understanding that this Kamadenu cow previously was not Vishwamitra, he was Gadisuta, he was a king. So he wanted to have that cow for himself. So there was a fight between both Vishwamitra and Vasishta. Vasishta initially told, my dear cow, you please go along with the king, what I can do. The cow says that if you desire so, I can create so much army which can defeat Vishwamitra. Then Vasishta says, okay. The cow creates so much army which destroyed the army of Gadisuta. So Gadisuta thought that the power of Brahmanas is more powerful than the power of Kshatriyas. So let me become Brahmana. So he goes and performs various austerities in order to become Brahmana. So while doing so, having become Brahmana, having gained powers, the enmity between Vishwamitra and Vasishta kind of continued for long. So Vasishta had 101 sons. The eldest was Shakti, and he had 100 younger brothers. Shakti was a very powerful personality, a great personality. He also became Vyasa for the 25th cycle of Chaturyuga. And one day, Shakti was traveling in the forest. On the other side, Saudasa, who is the descendant of Ikshvaku, the Surya Vamsha king, he traveled on world conquest and he became king of the entire province. He became so proud. He was coming home. On the way, he happened to see Shakti. And he told Shakti, give me way, get away from the path. I want to go ahead. And Shakti told that, as a general custom, I am a Brahmana, you are a Kshatriya. You are supposed to take side when I pass through, then you can go ahead. So, then he said that, I am the monarch, you should get away from my path. So, being a Brahmana, being a gentle person, he moved little aside. While going ahead, Saudasa used the whip with which he hit on the body of Shakti. The whip which is used to hit the horses, to control the horses, with which the same he hit on the Shakti. The Shakti became a little bit annoyed and angry, out of concern. Are you behaving like a Rakshasa? What is this? Is it a good behavior? Like that, he just uttered a few words. So then he went. So this entire event was witnessed by Vishwamitra from far distant. Then Vishwamitra immediately created a Rakshasa. Please go and possess this king. The Rakshasa possessed King Saudasa. When he is about to enter his kingdom, his inner palaces, Vishwamitra created another Brahmana and sent him, go and beg for alms from this king. So when that Brahmana went to him, the king, he said that, today I am very hungry, I want to eat food, which also contains meat. The food containing meat. So the king said that, no problem, you wait here, I'll go home and prepare the food and send it back. The king went home, but he forgot. After going home, after seeing his wife and all the people in the palace, he forgot about the Brahmana. But after sleeping, he suddenly remembered, a Brahmana is waiting for me, that I need to send food. So immediately went to his kitchen, summoned his kitchen people, prepare food with meat and give it to that Brahmana. The cook said, there is no meat available in the kitchen. So then, there is no animal meat available in the kitchen. The king said, he is already possessed by Rakshasa. He said that, take human flesh and feed the Brahmana. The cook immediately go to the jail where the criminals are executed. Somebody who are already executed. He takes away some meat from the dead person and cooks and gives the Brahmana. The Brahmana understood. This food contains human meat which is not fit for eating. So, my dear king, you are acting like a Rakshasa. You are telling me to eat human meat? Only Rakshasas eat human meat. May you become Rakshasa. He curses. And that personality becomes Rakshasa. He previously was just possessed, but now he became completely Rakshasa. So, he eventually, understanding that I have become Rakshasa today as a result of Shakti only. Shakti only said that you are behaving like Rakshasa, I became Rakshasa. That Kalmashapada or the Saudasa king, later on one day he saw Shakti. And he ate him up like a Rakshasa. And then he went to the ashrama of Vasishtha. There, he ate the other 100 younger brothers of Shakti. All the brothers were died. As a result, Vasishtha is sonless. So Vasishtha thought that there is no use of me living in this world. Let me die. He jumped from the top of a mountain. He was not dead. He went into the ocean, tying him with a big boulder, but the ocean pushed him outside through its waves. He was not dead. He went into a river. Still, he did not die. He entered into fire. The fire became very soothing, cool, like a rainy season. He did not die. He tried various means to die, but nothing happened. So, Vasishtha was traveling from forest to forest. And Vasishtha's daughter-in-law following Vasishtha. In order to tell him that, please don't die. Your lineage is not ended. I am already pregnant. I am pregnant from last many months. Your son is still there within my womb. In his representation as his son. So in order to inform this information to Vasishtha, she was following after Vasishtha. But the son who is in the womb of this personality, her name is Adrushyanti. He was reciting Vedic Vedas very eloquently, very nicely. And when she came very close quarters of Vasishtha, Vasishtha could hear those Vedas being chanted very nicely. And Vasishtha immediately understood that previously my son Shakti used to chant in this meter. And he stopped and he turned around and looked at her and asked, "Who are you?" He forgot everything. She said that, "I am your daughter-in-law. So you don't worry that your son died, but your grandson is still there within my womb. He will protect your ancestry, your lineage. So don't take up the rash decision of dying." So then Vasishtha becomes happy and the child is born. Vasishtha was taking care of that child. And one day, in order to destroy this son and also Vasishtha and also the Adrushyanti, that Rakshasa, the king Saudasha, wanted to attack Vasishtha. And immediately Adrushyanti told that, "This Rakshasa only killed your son. This Rakshasa only killed your other sons. Please protect me and my son. Please protect my son." So then immediately Vasishtha, using his mantra power, delivered that Rakshasa and liberated that king. That king was happy and accepted Vasishtha as his spiritual master. From there on, of course, previously also Vasishtha was the guru of Suryavamsa dynasty. He became the guru, like he remained the guru. So here, the son of Shakti was taken care by Vasishtha very nicely. One day he heard about the duties of a father. So that son thought that this personality is taking care of me like a father. And immediately went to Vasishtha and called him, "My dear father, my dear father." So mother took the son aside and told that, "My dear son, he is not your father. He is actually your grandfather." Then the son told, "Where is my father?" Then the mother told that, "Your father was eaten up by a Rakshasa. So he is no more. The son is so powerful that if my father has eaten up by a Rakshasa in this world, there is no way that this world can exist any further. I want to destroy this world immediately." That was the vow taken by that son. So as he took that vow, immediately Vasishtha came to him and told him, "My dear son, don't do like that. So this is a rash act. Never do like that. For everything there is a mission. Don't do like that. Previously there was a Brahmana who is known as Aura, whose father and uncles, they were all killed by Kshatriyas. So that the Kshatriyas could not see her pregnant. So still they wanted to kill all the ladies. As they were about to kill, the Avrarushi came out of the sky and kind of blinded all the Kshatriyas. Eventually Kshatriyas understood the power of this Avrarushi and pacified him and kind of begged forgiveness. Then Avrarushi said that, "No, I know way that I can forgive you. I will destroy all your Kshatriya dynasty, Kshatriya lineage." So as he was taking that vow, the forefathers, his father and other uncles, they all came. "It is all our desire. Please don't take that rash decision. So please subside your anger. May you stop it." Then the Brahmana, that Avrarushita said, "Where can I deposit this anger?" They said that, "Deposit this anger, this fiery anger in the ocean." The anger of Avrarushi is still there in the ocean. So that is being mentioned in Mahabharata. And he tells this example. So Avrarushi kind of pacified. So may you be pacified. Don't destroy this world. So Parashara became pacified, but he was not happy. "If not the entire world, let me kill the impious Rakshasas." He performed a yajna in order to kill the Rakshasas. The Rakshasas are entering one after the other. So all the co-brothers of Vasishtha, understanding that something inorganic is happening, the Pulaha, Krutu, Pulasya, they all came to Parashara and they told, "My dear boy, please don't do this. As per the destiny, some of the Rakshasas have already entered into the fire. Please stop." So Parashara looked at Vasishtha and Vasishtha nodded. "Yeah, please listen to them. They are your grand uncles. Stop." In the grandfather's co-brothers, in that sense. "So please stop." So Parashara stopped. So as soon as Parashara stopped, immediately hearing the words of Pulasya and Vasishtha, Pulasya became very happy and he blessed him. "My dear son, may you become expert at reciting Puranas. May you become well-versed with the knowledge of Puranas. May you become expert at reciting Puranas." So that was the blessing given by Pulasya and to Parashara. And then Vasishtha told that, "Don't waste your powers. Please worship Lord Vishnu." Then he worshipped Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu appeared to him and asked for a benediction. And Parashara told that, my dear Lord, I want to have you as my son. So Lord Vishnu told, okay, no problem. I will appear as your son when you happens to meet Satyavati, the daughter of Uparichara Vasu. So that was the story behind Uparichara Vasu, Parashara Muni meeting Satyavati. So while traveling in his wanderings, one day he happened to meet Satyavati on the bank of Yamuna. And just by looking at her, Parashara remembered the words of Lord Narayana. Then he told that, my dear maiden, my dear girl, Lord Vishnu added that he would like to appear through you. So I would like to marry you and beget a child. Immediately Satyavati understood that, if I say no, he may curse me. If I say yes, my virginity is lost. Okay, how can I go home? And she submitted to Sage. My dear Sage, I will follow your order. But I have a question. How can I go in front of my father with a son having lost my virginity? And you are a wanting Sage. You cannot accept me as your wife. You will go afterwards. So what will happen to me? Then the Sage said that, no, nothing will happen to you. I will accept you as my wife only for the mission for the Lord to appear in this world. After that, I will restore your virginity. And I will bless you with great boons. Please ask whatever boon you want. The girl said that, people can only keep me away because my body emits the fishy odor. Please remove it. Then Parashara said that, from today on you will emit wonderful fragrance which will bring happiness to all the people who are in your surrounding. And then he tells that, in the future, very soon, you will become the queen of the entire Jambudvipa, entire province. And through you, the principles of Dharma will be re-established. This was another blessing given by Parashara. Then he says, that is okay, but on both the banks of the Yamuna river, there are so many sages are looking at us. How can we unite? It may not be proper. Then I will make all the arrangements. Then Parashara invited the father of this girl, Satyavati, Uparichara Vasu, and invited his own grandfather, Vasishta, and his grandmother, Arundhati, and all other sages. In their presence, he duly married her. And then, in the midst of Yamuna River, he created an island. The entire surroundings are covered by dust, not dust, the fog, so that no one can see. And then, he begot a child through her. As soon as the child was born, as soon as they united, the child was born immediately, that is called Sadyogarbha, conception, childbirth, and the child became youth. Everything happened instantly. And Parashara left from that place. And the son known as Vyasa, he appeared in the blackish complexion, is known as Krishna. He appeared in a dvipa created in the midst of Yamuna river, he is known as Dvaipayana. His full name is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, in that sense. So he told his mother, my dear mother, as blessed by my father Parashara, your virginity is restored, you go home as normal, and very soon you will become the queen of the entire province. Whenever you have some trouble, you call me. You remember me, I will come. And Vyasa left from that place. The daughter, that fisherman's daughter, goes to home. So like that, all these events happened in a transcendental way, by the will of the providence, by the desire of Parashara Muni, through the ordinance of the curse of the Rishi, one of the Rishi who cursed that Apsara girl, everything happened at the will of the providence. And this Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, later on, in order to fulfill his mission of compiling all the Vedic literature, of course, the Vedic literature were there in the form of Shruti, but Kalena Jarasam Gata are, as we hear in Bhagavad Gita, that by the influence of time, everything is gradually destroyed. It has to be re-established. So then Vyasa takes up the task of compiling all the Vedic literature in the book form. So he kind of divides the Vedas into four divisions, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Atharvana Veda. And he also compiles Mahabharata, which is the essence of all the Vedas. He also compiles the Puranas, Ramayana, and many other Shastra, Dharma Shastra, Sattva Shastras, Naya Shastras, like that. All the Vedic literatures he compiles and gives the responsibility of propagating and preserving all these Vedic literatures to some of his disciples. Paila Rishi given the responsibility of Rigveda, Sumantu given the responsibility of Atharva, Jaimini given the responsibility of Samaveda, Vaishampayana given the responsibility of Krishna Yajurveda and Mahabharata, Surya was given the responsibility of Shukla Yajurveda. Romarshana was given the responsibility of propagating Puranas and Itihasas. Sukadeva Goswami was given the responsibility of propagating Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that, various personalities were given responsibility of propagating all these various literature. And Roma Harshana Suta was given the responsibility of propagating Mahabharat and other Puranas, Ramayan and Pancharatra Agamas. So like that, various literatures have been given responsibilities. And the four Kumaras were given the responsibility of preaching the important aspects of Vedas, such as Upanishads, etc., in order to preach Sankhya, Yoga, Tapasya and Vairagya, etc. And Narada Muni was given the task of preaching, propagating the important aspects of Pancharatra Agamas in order to preach Bhakti all over. And the mind-born sons of Lord Brahma, all the Prajapatis, all the great sages, like such as Vasishta, Pulaha, Prithu, Kakrutu, Daksha, they were given the responsibility of teaching or preserving and propagating the other section of the Vedas, which teach Karma Yoga all over the world, who become time and again as Saptarishis and propagate Karma Yoga principles. Like that, various personalities have been given the responsibility. And this Vyasadeva, he compiled 18 Puranas in order to help all the other living entities. So, he compiled 6 Sattvika Puranas based on the Pancharatra, 6 Rajasika Puranas based on the Vedas, Rajasika Vedas, and 6 Tamasa Puranas based on Pashupata Agamas. And in order to establish the highest principle of Vedanta, the supremacy of the personality of God and his other manifestations, in order to keep the other systems of philosophy, at the end he compiled Vedanta Sutra. In order to keep the other 6 systems of philosophies under control. So, the other 6 systems of philosophy are propagated by the great sages such as Kannada, who propagated Vaisheshika, Gautama propagated Nyaya, Kapila propagated Sankhya, Patanjali propagated Yoga, Jaimini propagated Karma Mimamsa, and Ashravakra propagated impersonalism. So, in order to keep all these other philosophies which are keeping the people away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vyasadeva at the end compiled Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutra in order to propagate the importance of surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead, the position of the Supreme Lord as the highest authority of all. So thus, this is the mission of Srila Vyasadeva. This is what is being said in this entire chapter. So in a nutshell, the mission of Srila Vyasadeva is, he compiled 4 Vedas in order to help the people become pure by following the Karmakanda rituals that are mentioned in the Vedic literature. Those people who are not interested to practice Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti. For those people who are interested to practice Bhakti and the worship of other Devatas, Vyasadeva compiled Itihasas and Puranas. And for those people who are, as Prabhuji very nicely described yesterday, that Karma Shreyasi Bharata Makhyanam, for Sri Shudra Dija Bandunam, he compiled the essence of the Vedic literature and the Puranas in the form of stories as Ramayana and Mahabharata, so that everyone can be benefited. And exclusively for those people who are the Dvija, the twice born and intellectuals, for their benefit, Vyasadeva compiled Vedanta Sutra, so that they can practice Jnana and Yoga and attain perfection. Like that, Vyasadeva manifested all the Vedic literature in various forms for the benefit of different category of people. Some of them are intelligent, some of them are interested in Yoga, Jnana, Karma, Bhakti. For everyone, he made all the arrangement. So, he performed his task very wonderfully. But, again by the will of the Providence, he was not happy. Na tushyed rudayam tata. In spite of doing all these things, he was not happy. So, why he was not happy, how he became happy, the subject matter of the future verses, the future speakers will be discussing the rest of the Bhagavatam. So, thank you very much. So, I have made this presentation because in a couple of weeks, very soon we are going to have Guru Purnima, Vyasa Purnima. So, since the subject matter is about Vyasa, so I made some history about Vyasadeva today. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Bhaktavrinda ki jai.